This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
سلاتو شروع ہونا ہے. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 23 من شهر ربيع الثاني 1445 الموافق لثمانية من شهر نوفمبر 7 من شهر نوفمبر 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا زلات ويغفر لي المؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الله عز وجل we continue from where we stopped last درس. And if you remember we were dealing with the ayah quoted by Imam al-Nawawi, and we decided to talk about a series of the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the virtues of the righteous people, you know, and try to see how to join this people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the last thing we talk about was the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما ومن تاب وعمل صالحا فإنه يتوب إلى الله متابا. So we talk about the importance of tawbah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning this root of the ma'asi, as it is highlighted by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, when he says there are three roots for the ma'asi. Imma al-quwa, at-ta'alluq al-qalbi bi-ghayrillah, aw al-quwa al-ghadbaniyya, aw al-quwa al-shahwaniyya. Assalamu alaykum. So, these are the roots of the ma'asi. But still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that if you were to come back to him at any moment, Allah will accept you. And not only that, Allah granted us incentive also for that. That if you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not just going to be given, you know, the acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also replace the places and the positions of the bad deeds with the good ones. Because each and every one of those bad deeds, when you repent, you are addressing it with a tawbah. And every tawbah carries a reward. It's a very nice intensive that should be motivating, you know, every single Muslim to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right on the spot. Because the time to repent is now, not to delay it. It's a sign of, you know, a loss and becoming a loser if a person is to delay the tawbah. The only person who can delay the tawbah, I mean should, but if there is anyone who can delay the tawbah, should be somebody who has an agreement with Rabbul Alameen that his life will never be taken away from him until he receive a notice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nobody is like this. And therefore the time to repent is now. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us this good news that at any moment you come back to Allah, you will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any time. As long as you are not repentant to Allah in one of these three moments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَوْ يَأْتِيَ رَبُّكَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَ بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ. These are three situations where tawbah is not going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a person. When a person sees the angel of death, when a sun rises from the west, and when a person's meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, there will be no tawbah, no making a U-turn. A person has to just wait and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for him. So don't put yourself into this situation. We still have ample time to repent. And as I said, since we're not sure when are we going to leave this life, let us do it right now. Every single time, just repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Astaghfirullah. Allahumma aghfirli. Astaghfirullah. Allahumma aghfirli. And akthir, you know, intensify the amount of those mukaffirat lizunub. Making wudu, you know, every time you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing tasbih, doing dhikr. These are mukaffirat lizunub. Allah says, innal hasanati yudhibna sayyi'at. So back to this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ تَابَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَإِنَّهُ يُتُوبِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا. And you are repentant to who? Allah. Allah doesn't reject anyone. As long as you are sincerely repentant, Allah accepts you. You know, he addressed in Surah Al-Zumar, the worst. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, before Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to the worst type of people who he said, these people cursed me. And guess who they are? Yeah, the ignorant, the Christian, those people who worship Allah with dalal. Why was the curse? Because they said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a child. But still these entities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to them with that kind of tone when he says, أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Why can't they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and come back to him? Subhanallah. This is the one that you're dealing with. If these guys are still given opportunity to repent, to come back, what do you think about others whose sin did not reach the shirk? That's why he says in Zumar, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. It's one of the attitude and the attribute of the kuffar and the munafiqeen to be in a state of qanut min rahmatillah. A believer shouldn't have, you know, any sense of despair in his heart of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always be optimistic. When you're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kun mutafa'ilan da'iman. Do the right thing and always come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. Expect good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah said, ana 'inda dhanni 'abdi bi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he is always according to what you expect him to be. Of course, if a person is having good expectation, meaning you want Allah to have mercy upon you and you use the method and the path of mercy, you get it. You get it. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, if you want to see, you know, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the manifestation of this, look at that person. You know, this hadith gives a lot of hope, you Allah, for every single person who is alive to make sure that he does it correctly. Because this man died while committing one of the major sins, because he believes that there is a way for him to escape so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will miss him. He believes that there is a way for him to miss, I mean, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can miss him. That's the reason why he commanded his people to burn him after he died, to burn the body. And subhanallah, kalima qalaha anqadhathu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, after they finish burning, they throw him according to whatever he told them to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, why did you ask your people to do this? You know, subhanAllah, he says, Ya Allah, because of my strong fear that I have of you. Allah told the angels, you know, khalas, forgive him. And he took him to paradise. And this person who died in this way and got this mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why do you lose hope? Al-Hajjaj bin Yusuf died and he was saying, Ya Allah, I know many people are just waiting to see the moment you will get. Ya Allah disappoints them. Show mercy upon me. The scholars said, you know, this is a very nice word to be said at the last minute of a person's life. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا لَا يَمُوتَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا هُوَ يُحْسِنُ الظَّنَّ بِرَبِّهِ. Nobody should die except in a situation whereby he has good expectation about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you're about to die, what does fear benefit you in this? Nothing. Yeah, that's why they said, you maintain the balance in your life between the hope and the fear. When you're about to die, hope should be more than the fear. Because fear will never benefit you. get nervous and you might not be able to do what you're supposed to be doing. At that time, you're supposed to have this intensive amount of hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and forget whatever happened and repent immediately and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show mercy. So my dear brothers and sisters, I really advise you, whenever you sit down or you're walking, you know, you're doing nothing, do istighfar. Do istighfar. Do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone between you and yourself. You get rifa'a fi darajat and Allah will remove your sins. And you get a lot of reward, which you will appreciate to see it on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. One of the qualities of these good ones, they didn't do the shahadat al-zur. Shahadat al-zur is the false testimony. You did not witness something. You are not there when the thing was taking place. But then you claim that you know exactly what happened. This is one of the major sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was talking about this, he was lying down. He sat down first and then he kept on saying, Ala wa qawlu zur, ala wa shahadatu zur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates lying in all of its forms. That's why they reported that one of the scholars, I guess Sayyid ibn Musayyib, he said, Kullu dhanbin ja'ala Allahu lahu kafara fa amruhu hayyin fa lidhalika lam yaj'al Allahu lil kadhib kafara. Every sin that you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put kafara for it, that means you can tackle the case here. That means you can deal with the matter here. You can do something to get the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leave them like that without making any way for you to have the kafara for them, they're very dangerous. I remember one of our scholars, he was talking about the forbidden things during Hajj and Umrah. He mentioned the marriage. You know, al-muhrim la yankih wa la yunkah. Cannot marry and cannot engage yourself in any marriage. So he was saying, although there is no fidya when it comes to the marriage, other things, if you shave your hair, you cut your hair, you have to pay something, you do this, you have to do this and that. But marriage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention anything. But then he was reminding the believers, he says, we have to be very careful. Because things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell you how to get out of the predicament that you put yourself in, they might be more dangerous than the others. It might be more dangerous than others because Allah is silent concerning these ones. Meaning you don't know your affair. You get the idea. You have to keep repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept you. You don't need to lie, my dear brothers and sisters, in your life. Unless if you're pressured and forced and oppressed, then you go for the tawriya. Using words that has two meanings, you know, the words that have two meanings, and you're talking about the farthest one, but the one that you're speaking to will understand the closest one. This is only ja'iz when you are in trouble. And trouble that you don't put yourself in. You're oppressed by others. Yeah. You did something wrong and the police stopped you. You lie. You're not saying, no, you're allowed to lie because you're in trouble. No, you're not. You're the one who put yourself into trouble. You have to speak the truth. Whenever you put yourself into trouble by yourself, you're not oppressed by anyone. Lying is prohibited in Islam. And the result of lying in this dunya is to be humiliated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُفْتَرِينَ. When he talks about the liars in Surah Al-A'raf, he says, سَيَنَالُهُمْ غَضَبٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَذِلَّةٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُفْتَرِينَ. He says, these ones Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to give them humiliation in this life. Apart from the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will be on them. وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُفْتَرِينَ. He said, this is the way we reward. We recompense those people who are lying. The liars, they have no reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except humiliation in this life. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be honest and be truthful. You might get into trouble temporarily, but that is better for you, you Allah, than being into trouble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you meet him. Ka'b, Warara, and Hilal ibn Umayyah, those three people who did not go with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the battle of the Tabuk. The munafiqun came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one after the other. And whenever they come, you already know. إِذَا حَدَّثُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. Whenever they speak, they lie. So they came to the Prophet ﷺ, and they lied. Ka'ab said, وَقَدْ أُوتِيتُ الْجَدَلَ. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with ability to debate. I don't lose debates when I engage in a debate. He said, I know how to do it. And I'm pretty sure that I know what to tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make him believe in what I'm saying. But I know it is very simple that I'm not dealing with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm dealing with Allah rabbul alameen. I can lie to somebody, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can just tell him, Ka'ab is lying. So he decided just to hold his breath, not to lie, and to speak the truth. SubhanAllah, they went into that situation of punishment whereby everyone is, commanded by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to stay away from them. Allah says, وَذَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. The earth is very big, but they see it as if they are living in one room. Nobody is speaking to them. They manage to handle. They cry a lot. At the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal, their forgiveness. SubhanAllah, this is the result of what? Being honest and speaking the truth. Now, every day, until the day of judgment, قِصَّتُهُمْ وَتَوْبَتُهُمْ تُتْلَى إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Having your name or your mention, your story in the Quran is a virtue. It's sharaf for them. Until the day of judgment, that's the result of what? Saying the truth. It gives you rivah. That's why sometimes if you act with two faces with people, people understand who you are. Iwallah, they know who is speaking the truth and who is honest and who is acting as a munafiq with them. Laughing with them, and when he goes to other people, he is not with those ones. So Ka'ab and the rest of the two brothers, they got this. What is more beneficial, for us in all of these stories is the last ayah that Allah wants to mention about their case. When he says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullah wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin. He says, O you who believe in Allah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and always be amongst the truthful ones. Always speak the truth. And don't worry. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, the consequence is going to be excellent. You might be in trouble for a while. That's why as a Muslim, you have to be smart. You have to be somebody who is a law-abiding person and also stay away from anything that can put you into trouble. If in case by mistake something happened, just speak the truth and go with it. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to get you out of it. So please take note on this. There is no good in lying at all. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, lying leads to hell. Yeah? Lying leads to hell. The only permissible thing, as I said, is the tawriyah. So what if this is the normal lie that you do, which you don't harm anyone, you're just harming yourself. But sometimes we lie, which end up by harming others. Yeah. When there is a clash, la qaddar Allah, between Mazin and Abdurrahman, for instance, and I wasn't there. But then I go and I talk to the judge. I told him, wallahi, I was there, and Mazin was wrong, or Abdurrahman was wrong, and I wasn't there. Because I just want to support one of them. What am I doing? I'm going to put myself into trouble. In what sense? By making the judge trust in my word, and he will decide the case for one of them based on my word. So I'm the one who harmed this. Because of my statement, I'm harming him. And subhanAllah, I will get involved in that sin mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ. He said, you should know that I am human beings. وَإِنَّكُمْ تَخْتَصِمُونَ إِلَيَّ. And you guys come with your cases to me from time to time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلَعَلَّ بَعْضَكُمْ يَكُونُ أَلْحَنَ بِحُجَّتِهِ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. He said, perhaps some of you might be so smart in terms of speak. Some people when they speak, you just have to keep quiet as if nobody knows how to talk except them. They know how to twist the truth. Yeah. That's why one of the most prestigious, job is to be a lawyer. And at the same time, one of the most dangerous thing in this life, in this dunya, is to be a lawyer. How many truths have been twisted? A person will come to the court with how many lawyers? 50, 60, I was watching a case, 50 people in the court. All of them are coming to defend one person. Yeah, yeah. Allahu Alam, you know. I'm not here to decide who is right, who is wrong, but just seeing the scenario, you know, all of these guys are coming to the court, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a very prestigious because you can use it to defend somebody who has nobody to defend him. You Allah, only Allah knows how much you will get. But at the same time, as I said, it's also very dangerous because many times they twist the truth. They put it in their own way. So the Prophet ﷺ said, فَلَعَلَّ بَعْضَكُمْ يَكُونَ أَلْحَنَ بِحُجَّتِهِ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. Perhaps some of you might be stronger, more eloquent, you know, in terms of speech. And as such, he will be speaking in a way, I will trust his word. فَأَحْكُمَ لَهُ بِحَقِّ أَخِيهِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, and I will be deciding the case for him against his brother. Rasulullah ﷺ said, this person should know that whatever I am giving him which does not belong to him, إِنَّمَا هِيَ قِطْعَةٌ مِنَ النَّارِ. He should know that this is a portion of hellfire that he's taking. Iwallah. You know that in this dunya, wallah is very simple. You know, you decide, you give the right, you know, to this one and this one. But there is the greatest mahkamah that is going to take place when? On the day of judgment. No lying, no deception, no cheating. Because the one who is going to judge you and that person is Allah Rabbul Alameen. Nobody can hide. That's why somebody was right when he says, إِلَى دَيَّانِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ نَمْضِي وَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَجْتَمِعُ الْخُصُومِ. You Allah. Those qudat who are judging in the wrong way, if they understand this properly, some of them they will quit their job. Rasulullah said, مَنْ وُلِّيَ الْقَضَىٰ فَقَدْ ذُبِحَ بِغَيْرِ سِكِّي. If you assign the responsibility to become a judge, it's like slaughtering you without knife. One of the students, Imam al-Dhahabi, was mentioning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him because of his criticism against one of the righteous scholars. نَحْسَبُهُ كَذَلِكَ وَاللَّهُ حَسِيبُ. Imam al-Dhahabi said, Allah tested this student by having him to become a judge. They take it as a test. Iwallah, many people lost their life. Many people went to jail because of your words. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we have three types of qudat. Qadiyan fil nar wa qadin fil jannah. Three types of judges. Two of them are going to hell. One is going to paradise. The two that are going to hell is the one that doesn't know the truth and he agreed to become a judge. Iwallah, I had a friend who happened to be among the interviewers of some of the judges. And he, trust me, there were questions which some of these judges were asked and they don't know. And he is the one who is in the Sharia court and he doesn't know some of the simple cases in the law of inheritance. Iwallah, some of the basic he doesn't know. One of them, the room was full of air conditioning. He was sweating. He told them before they start asking questions, he said, Allah, you don't need to waste your time. I come to this place because of politics. I support whoever is there. They couldn't find any job to give me. They sent him to the court. Subhanallah. He told them, don't waste your time. I don't know anything. And he's the one who is judging. Imagine, what is he judging in the court then? Yeah, it's a very dangerous situation. You know, it's a very dangerous position. It's not something that you'd be proud of having. You know, you should cry when you are a judge. You Allah, every day you should cry. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you to make the right decision. Otherwise, imagine all of those people that you decide against them, and this is their right, and you take it. You give it to somebody else, all of them are going to come back on the day of judgment and look for their right. Think about this. This is the first judge that the Prophet ﷺ said will be going to hell. The second one, the Prophet ﷺ said, is the one who knows the truth. And he did not use it. The first one did not know and judge. The second one, he knows the truth and he uses something else. This one also we have a lot. It depends on how much you give. That's why it is the recommendation of Umar radiallahu anhu. Not Ibrahim, Umar radiallahu anhu, the Khalifa. When he was sending a message to one of his governors, he told him, you should take a judge and pay him enough money that will close his eyes and stop him from looking for anything else. You Allah. One of the best people to get, I'm not promoting them, but one of the best people to be paid more by the government, they should be the judges. Yeah, you want them not to think about bribe, give him something which is more than enough, so that he will be able to fight the shaitan, that he has enough. Why would he go for something else? And put a strong eye on them to make sure that they are not doing the wrong thing. And the last one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is a person who knows the truth and uses the truth to judge. If he's wrong in his judgment, he still get one reward, because he's at the capacity to make that ijtihad. If he's right, alhamdulillah. If he's right, he get two rewards. If he's wrong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him one reward. That's why the scholars developed this qaida. They said, kullu mujtahidin, if he is qualified to do the ijtihad, musibun ajra, will get the reward. Whether he's right or he's wrong, as long as he's doing that sincerely for the sake of Allah, and also he has the quality to do the ijtihad. وَلَيْسَ كُلُّ مُجْتَهِدٍ مُصِيبٌ حَقًّا. But not every mujtahid is getting the truth. And this is also good for us to know, because sometimes we say, oh, but some scholars said this and that. No, you have to be on the safe side. The truth in most instances is with one person. Make sure that you detect the truth through the nusus and take that one. Don't worry about who is saying it, who is not saying it, but make sure that you recognize the truth based on the evidences. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. And these are the people that don't stay and get busy with useless things. You Allah, this ayah fit us a lot. Yeah. Waste of time, unnecessary things, which are not going to add value to your dunya or your akhir. Anything that is haram, these people, they try to pass it kiraman. You know, stay away from it without getting involved until the time the topic is being changed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانُ فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَ مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. This is inappropriate and haram for a Muslim to be in the midst of the people who are committing sins. Not only that, the predecessors mentioned that if you pass the people who are committing sin, even at the time of the commission of the sin, you don't say salam to them. Imam Bukhari, in the book of Adab al-Mufrad, he quoted that this is what they used to do. When they pass the people who are committing sin, this is not the time for salam. Yeah, as a Muslim, when you meet him somewhere else, you say salam to him, but at the time he is saying he's committing the sin, this is not the time for salam. This is the time for guidance, or if you can, then you leave the place, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So he says, وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. They don't get involved in things which are sins or inappropriate matters. Rahman, do you still have time? 1 minute. قَالَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا صُمًّا وَعُمْيَانًا. And these are the people who are always reflecting when they're reminded. قَدِيمًا قَالُوا الْحِكْمَةُ ضَالَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ أَنَّا وَجَدَهَا أَخَذَهَا. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you something, فَكَلَامُهُ كُلُّهُ حِكْمَةُ. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells you something, فَكَلَامُهُ كُلُّهُ حِكْمَةُ. One of the diseases of this ummah nowadays is that we find hikmah in other statements rather than seeing it in the nusus of the Quran and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why the vast majority of my quotations, your quotations, their quotations is from somebody else, and sometimes from the enemies of Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas, أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ, my dear brothers and sisters, there is no hikmah or wisdom or statement, you know, that you're looking for which benefits you and everyone, that you cannot find from the book of Allah or from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With no exaggeration, whatever you're looking for, it is there. It's just like what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عَلِمَهُ مَنْ عَلِمَهُ وَجَهِلَهُ مَنْ جَهِلَهُ. Since you are not aware of it, then you should go and ask the scholars rather than depending on others. You have everything, so don't you ever be like himar yahmilu asfara, donkey that is carrying books on its back. All the benefit things are there, but it doesn't benefit from anything. This is the nature of Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have everything. It's just up to us to just eat it, but unfortunately we like to make the experiment depending on our own personal ijtihad. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with all of us in this dunya. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafil. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sheikh, brother asked, are there negative emotions in heaven? And if not, is he allowed to want to be able to have negative emotions? Like, for example, anger. He wants to be able to feel anger in heaven.
I would like to see this person, you know. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد there is a question about what is the term again sugar coat that's the first time I hear this so according to the interpretation is to tell some I mean to be shy to tell the truth to somebody so you put it in a way because you don't want to hurt his feelings we really need to be very careful because sometimes doing this you might end up putting him into more trouble than what you're trying to run away from. I believe inshallah there is always a better way for you to convey the message. Yeah, not necessarily you say it in the way you want to say it, but say it in the best way, you know. That is always a better way, soft way, the way that is full of wisdom, you know, to say it. And the truth will be conveyed, and the person will understand what you're talking about, and he will agree, and what you're afraid of will not happen. And I have a lot of experiences concerning this matter. Simple thing you say to a person, you cool him down, whereby you find him fighting with others, and you come and you say the same thing they are saying, but in a different way. And he was so happy with that. I recall a story that is attributed to Ibn Sirin, Wallahu alam bi sihatiha. They said somebody saw a dream, and in the dream he found himself losing his teeth, all of them. You know, the scholars who interpret the dream, they said when you lose your teeth, this is referring to loss of family members. Yeah, and they have also explanation which teeth is this, which is Wallahu alam. But anyway, they said this person, he lost his teeth in a dream. And then he met somebody to give him the interpretation of this dream. The man told him, oh, you saw this? He said, yes. What did you see in the dream? He said, I lost all of my teeth. He says, La hawla la quwwata illa billah. You're going to lose all of your family members. The man became so sad. Of course, to tell the person that all of your family members are going to die, that means from now onwards, he's going to be looking at them with these eyes, that these people, they are technically dead, just waiting for the last minute. They said he was sad, ka'eeb, depressed, until the time he met Muhammad ibn Sirin. And then he asked Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, the same question again. Ibn Sirin told him, no. Who told that person that this is the interpretation of the dream? So the man became so happy. You know? He said, Sheikh, so then what is the meaning of that dream? The Sheikh told him, actually, it is like this. Allah will put barakah in your life, in the way you will live longer, in the way you will be the last person to die in your family members. The man said, Alhamdulillah, you know. But what is the difference between the first and the second one? No difference. The first said they will die and you will remain. And the second one also said they will die and you will remain. You will be the last person. Yeah, method is really necessary. You don't need to lie. Wallahi, in most instances, you don't need to go for tawriya. Just think wisely and deeply, you'll find a way to convey the message. She knows that the husband really loves the child. This is one of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The husband really loved this baby of his. And the baby died. She did not know how to inform him. She doesn't know how to tell him without hurting his feelings. And she has to tell. What did she do? She did it in her own way. She cooked for him nice food. She decorates herself, you know. Adorn herself properly, and she gave him the food, she put the perfume, she attracted him so much in the way after the food, he went and had relationship with her. And then after he took shower, while they were sitting, she told him, I have a question for you. If you borrow something from others, and these people wanted you to give them back their things, would you get annoyed? He said, no, we shouldn't get annoyed. Subhanallah, that's how she introduced the demise of the child. That's why he really appreciated the way, but he was just annoyed. Why did she let him have relationship with her at that time? He's not talking about the way, the method. The method is appreciated. That's why the Prophet also was happy with that method. And he told them, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that you have a child through this, you know, relationship that you had, please bring him to me before you do anything with the child. So as I said, there is always a better way, inshallah, to convey the message. You don't need to say it anyhow. There is always a better way to do it. So think deeper. Inshallah, you'll find the way that will take you away from doing the tawriyah online. The last question, which is a very strange and very interesting question that you'll be wanting to hear about it. Somebody was asking, in Jannah, is there any negative feeling in Jannah? And if there is no negative feeling, can he ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him negative feelings in Jannah? First of all, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you Jannah. And inshallah, if we go there, then you can ask this question. Everything in Jannah is positive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase your interest in going to Jannah and grant all of us Firdaus al-A'la. There is no negative feelings in Jannah. Everything in Jannah is excellent and perfect. Yeah, these are all thoughts when we view Jannah through the glasses of the dunya. You're going to end having these questions and most strange questions, actually. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you happy in both dunya and akhirah. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.